Good afternoon. From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. A Juneau man was arrested last week after he allegedly chased two girls in the Mendenhall Valley, prompting concerns for their safety. 36-year-old Darian Bliss has been charged with two misdemeanor counts of causing fear of imminent and serious injury. Charging documents say the girls were afraid Bliss was going to kidnap them. Sam Kokotovich is the father of one of the girls. He says the experience shook his daughter Kiara's trust in people she encounters.
She said that she's not going to be so trustworthy about everyone. She's going out. She's not like dramatized, but, you know, I don't know, you know. I don't know how she's doing. She won't tell me. She's very closed about it right now.
Kiara and her friend reported that Bliss ran after them as they left Glacier Cinemas at 9 p.m. Thursday night after a movie, according to charging documents. When the girls left the area, Bliss allegedly continued pursuing them while yelling. The girls, who are 12 and 13 years old, ran to the Super Bear grocery store a mile away. They called the police while they ran. Police say officers arrived at the store and identified the man as Darian Bliss. They interviewed Kiara and her friend, witnesses, and Bliss. Multiple witnesses told police they saw the man chase the girls to the store. Witness says that they blocked Bliss from following the girls inside. One of the girls told police the man was asking if they wanted him to take them home. Bliss told police he was running to the store, not chasing the girls. On top of the two misdemeanor counts Bliss is being charged with, he was also initially charged with two counts of misdemeanor child enticement, but during his arraignment, the judge dismissed them due to a lack of probable cause. Each misdemeanor charge could result in up to a year sentence. Kokotovich says he's scared for his daughter's safety if Bliss is released on bail.
Just talking about it now makes me really uneasy with her just going out and what happens if they run into each other, right?
Bliss is being held at Lemon Creek Correctional Center, and his bail is set for $500. He's scheduled for a pretrial conference on September 14th at the Diamond Courthouse in Juneau. The former Juneau police officer who slammed a man to the ground during an arrest last summer is asking a court judge to dismiss a lawsuit brought against him by the man he arrested. Christopher Williams Jr. originally filed the civil lawsuit last November against the city and borough of Juneau and former Juneau police officer Brandon LeBlanc. Williams suggests LeBlanc violated his civil rights during a violent arrest, which left him unconscious. Williams was later medevaced out of town. Video of the July incident recorded by a witness circulated widely online and prompted a public outcry from residents in the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. However, the state's Office of Special Prosecutions cleared LeBlanc of criminal charges stemming from the arrest. Earlier this week, LeBlanc's attorney, Chris Peloso, filed a motion seeking a superior court judge to dismiss the case against LeBlanc. Peloso argues his client's actions are protected under qualified immunity. Here he is during an interview explaining the motion.
Under state and federal law, police officers have certain immunities to things. They call that qualified immunity. So this is just Mr. LeBlanc asserting that particular protection.
Qualified immunity is a legal doctrine meant to protect government officials, including police officers, from being held personally liable in civil lawsuits when performing duties within the scope of their jobs. The majority of use of force-related civil lawsuits against law enforcement in Alaska fail because of it. In his motion, Peloso argues the doctrine is designed to, quote, shield reasonable officials from frivolous lawsuits while carrying out their discretionary duties, unquote. Peloso argues that his client was acting in good faith without malice or improper motive and within the scope of his authority as a police officer during the arrest. But Jeff Barber, an attorney representing Williams, disputes that. In an interview, he says the argument laid out in the motion is baseless and, quote, borderline frivolous.
It's an excessive force case. There's no grounds for the officer to challenge it. It's clear that what he did not comport with what he was supposed to do.
Barber argues LeBlanc's actions demonstrated both malice and reckless indifference towards his client during the arrest and after. Barber argues the motion to dismiss was also filed prematurely. The city is another defendant in the civil lawsuit. Juneau City Attorney Emily Wright says Peloso's motion is a standard filing for cases involving police officers and their actions. She says qualified immunity is an issue a judge must decide on early in a case, and the city will await a ruling by the judge. Wright says that whether or not a judge approves the motion will not directly impact the city's side of the lawsuit. And this isn't the first time former Juneau police officer LeBlanc has been sued. In 2016, a man sued LeBlanc for excessive force and battery while he served as an officer in Louisiana. A jury found LeBlanc not guilty. And a new state law enacted on Monday allows charitable organizations to gamble on snowfall. Now qualified organizations across the state can host betting games called Snow Classics, where prize money is awarded to the best guess of total snowfall at a specific location and time. Previously, state law restricted the game to the Mount Alyeska Snow Classic, run by Four Valleys Community School in Girdwood. That restriction disappointed Frankie Pilafont, president of the Juneau Nordic Ski Club. She advocated to change the law so the nonprofit could start its own Snow Classic to fundraise for the high school team.
all the teams here in Juneau travel, and it costs a lot of money. So we're looking for ways to help support their getting to places where they can participate against their peers.
Juneau Representative Sarah Hannon sponsored the bill. At a Senate Labor and Commerce Committee hearing last month, she said the change is simple. It just removes the mention of the Mount Alyeska Snow Classic.
So by taking out that from the law, other locations and communities could have snow classics.
She says Juneau's record snowfall this winter helped inspire the change. According to data from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, more than 17.5 feet of snow fell at the Juneau International Airport, breaking the previous record by more than a foot. The new rule takes effect in September. And officials with a U.S. Department of Defense agency are preparing to exhume the remains of the unidentified World War II soldier buried in the Sitka National Cemetery this week. They say it could be a man named Eugene Christensen, a second lieutenant in the U.S. Army Air Forces who they believe died in the plane crash in the Aleutian Islands campaign in 1942. KCAW's Hope McKinney reports.
It's a rainy winter day in Sitka, and I'm wandering through the grass trying to find some.
I'm wandering through white and gray marble headstones looking for the grave site for a soldier known simply as X3. He's currently buried on a terrace in the Sitka National Cemetery under a headstone labeled unknown.
We really don't ever want unknown soldiers. We want them to be identified and returned to their family.
Michael Livingston is a World War II historian from Cold Bay, Alaska, who's been advocating to get the remains of X3 disinterred and identified through DNA testing.
For the families that I've talked with that have unidentified, it's like a nagging hole that's tearing at them that they want fixed.
In December of 1941, the Japanese Imperial Navy bombed Pearl Harbor, prompting the U.S. to declare war on Japan. 6 months later, the Japanese Navy bombed Unalaska, also known as Dutch Harbor, a community about 800 air miles from Anchorage in the Aleutian Islands. The U.S. military responded, sending resources from Anchorage to the island community to help defend against the attack.
One of the planes crashed outside of Cold Bay, roughly between Cold Bay and Nelson Lagoon on the north side of the Alaska Peninsula. All the service members on that plane perished.
16 soldiers were on the C-53 aircraft when it went down. The plane and 10 service members were never found. But Livingston says a local trapper found the remains of 6 soldiers washed up on the shore and buried them in a temporary grave near his cabin until he could notify authorities. The military later recovered the remains and buried them locally in Fort Randall Post Cemetery. 5 of the 6 recovered soldiers were identified.
And then after 1945, when the war was ended, the United States military dug up those remains and moved them to their respective communities. One of the remains was X3, and he was moved to Sitka. We've been trying to get X3 identified for a long time.
Livingston has been coordinating with 70-year-old Chris Pfeiffer in that effort. Pfeiffer believes X3 is his great uncle, Second Lieutenant Eugene Christensen of Nebraska.
We've always known that we lost a great uncle in the Aleutian Islands. And here we are, 83 years later.
Pfeiffer, a military vet himself, says his great uncle went to college for 1 year before, at 21, he enlisted in the Army ahead of the attack on Pearl Harbor. Pfeiffer has gathered more than 800 pages of documents about Christensen and about the plane crash to help piece together the puzzle of his death.
Could it be my uncle? Yes. Could it not be? Yes. We have to manage our expectations on this.
Dr. Ian Spurgeon agrees.
Historically, all 11 are considered likely candidates.
Spurgeon is a military historian and disinterment manager with the Defense POW/MIA Accounting Agency, or DPAA, the Department of Defense agency in charge of recovering and identifying missing service members.
So we're looking for like over 80,000 Americans missing from conflicts worldwide in the Pacific and Europe.
He says their job is to combine the historical information, like circumstances of the crash and soldiers on board, with modern techniques, including anthropology, studying teeth, and DNA testing to identify remains. And this case of X3 is kind of a big deal. Spurgeon says there aren't many unknowns in the Sitka Cemetery or in Alaska as a whole.
This will be the very first unknown to be exhumed from Sitka, at least during DPAA's time. Before that, it would have been previous Army efforts decades before. So we're kind of breaking new ground, both literally and figuratively.
But the disinterment could be a bit challenging. The grave is on a terraced hill, which won't accommodate heavy equipment, so it'll have to be excavated by hand. Spurgeon says Sitka's cemetery is also prone to subsurface movement.
There's concern that the casket may have shifted a little bit underneath the ground and may not be directly located under the headstone. And we want to make sure we do not dig up the wrong casket.
If that's the case, Spurgeon says they'll have to stop the excavation and make a game plan to try again. He says it's part of the military's promise to its service members and families of soldiers to leave no one behind.
World War II may sound or seem like a long time ago, but there are many, many living people who remember their brothers or their fathers or uncles who were lost during World War II. This is still within living memory. And a lot of those families pass down the memories and the mission of trying to bring their loved ones home.
If X3 turns out to be Christensen, Pfeiffer says he hopes to bury his great uncle's remains in a Lutheran cemetery in Nebraska where the rest of his family lies. But if it turns out that X3 is another unknown soldier, Pfeiffer says that's okay too.
This is a positive story. This is really, however it ends up, this is a really positive event.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Hope McKenney.
The DPAA will be in Sitka this week to disinter the remains of the unidentified soldier, known as X3. If they're successful, it could still take up to 4 years to officially identify the remains. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 63 degrees and overcast. The rest of this afternoon looks sunny, with a high of 64. Tonight, we may see some rain, there's a 30% chance, and tomorrow that jumps up to a 70% chance of rain. But it looks like it'll be dry again on Friday with a high of 65 degrees. This is KTOO. Thank you for tuning in.